Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I got a story that I've been sitting on for a couple weeks now that happened right before the 4th of July. So a guy in Florida by the name of Cedric Jelks, while attempting to sit down in his car, accidentally shot himself in the penis.
Oh, no. That's always bad news.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the thing is about the before I get further story, I wish I could say the D word instead of penis.
Yeah, people don't like that one, so our radio station's probably.
Yeah, I wish I could because it's
unless you're
that
talking
way.
About somebody whose name is Richard, but he didn't shoot a man named Richard.
Nope.
Yeah, because it would have been funnier that way. Yeah,
no, it's just as funny.
It's still pretty ridiculous. So go ahead. What about
as long
it?
As he didn't shoot off his Nixon.
Well, okay, so, you know, this guy basically, after he accidentally shot himself in his manhood, rushed into the house of a woman and then went into the bathroom where the woman looked at him and found out he had shot himself in the penis.
Is this a stranger or somebody? Yeah,
the most interesting part of the story so far.
Yeah.
Excuse me, could you take a look at this?
Yeah.
I mean, I tried it, but I haven't had a lot of success with it.
So you don't know if this was somebody he knew or just some random lady
I think this was just some random lady.
Wow.
I think.
Okay.
So anyway, the woman then took him to the hospital to undergo surgery. Now, it doesn't say what the result of his injuries were. I'm going to take a guess. He's not going to get it up anytime soon.
Elon Musk's thoughts on artificial intelligence are pretty well known at this point. He's famously compared work on AI to, quote, summoning the demon, unquote, even though isn't there an auto drive mode in the Tesla?
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess he's okay with summoning the demon, but he wants the government to come in and keep everything in check. He's warned time and time again that technology poses as an existential risk to humanity. At a gathering of U.S. governors this weekend, he repeated these sentiments, but also stressed something that he says is even more important, that governments need to start regulating AI now. He told attendees at the National Governors Association summer meeting this last weekend, quote, "I have exposure to very cutting-edge AI, and I think people should really be concerned about it. I keep sounding the alarm bell, but until people see robots going down the street killing people, they don't know how to react because it seems so ethereal."
I think that the more the government's involved in AI and robotics and it's just proven over and over and over again. And what does the government spend most of its money doing?
Paying people?
Killing people. There you go.
Oh, I said paying people because the personnel costs are very, very high.
They pay people to kill people.
But what they're paying for is a lot of death and destruction.
For sure.
I've got a new name for the government and the further away from me the government is, the bigger these guys are. And I call them destructo bots because that's what they do. They destroy, they interfere, they kill, lie, cheat. You know, they do everything. I mean, you know, there might be a smidgen here and a smidgen there of stuff that they do that actually is supporting the people. But the vast majority of their activity and the vast majority of the money spent and the vast majority of any activity they engage in is more and more likely to be, like I say, destructo bots.
Mm-hmm.
When you start with coercion and your taxation and all of that, you're already dirty.
Yeah, sure.
You're already dirty. So, I mean, you know, AI coming along. And we want Musk to freaking regulate that? What the heck is that guy thinking?
Oh, I mean, bet he'd be happy to serve on the board of regulators.
Yeah. You know,
didn't he just join and then quit one of Trump's committees?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. We need to look back to just as a single example of what's going on in the central government in D.C. is the fact that we had this bad economic thing happen in 08, right? Wasn't that long ago? And, I even called, okay? people wrote in, people emailed and texted. And
oh, yeah, I remember that, where people were sending messages to, you know, during the bailouts or right before the bailouts.
Yeah, right.
They were sending messages overwhelmingly to Congress members saying, hey, don't do this. Don't do this bailout.
90 to 95%
of
all the messages were, don't friggin' bail.
Didn't work. Fell on deaf ears. They don't care.
We didn't even go on to say, well, they ought to be in jail.
He added that what he sees is the current model of government regulation, where they only step in after a bunch of bad things happen, is bad here because it represents, that is, AI represents, quote, a fundamental risk to the existence of civilization. Which, is he really trying to convince me that AI is a more fundamental risk to the existence of civilization than governments? Because it would seem to me that governments...
Or billionaires.
Are the biggest fundamental risk. Well, not every billionaire wants to, control the state, do they?
Not every billionaire.
I don't know. I think shooting along a tube at 300 miles an hour and running into the wall might be a risk to someone's life.
That's his thing. That's his new thing.
A hyperloop.
Yeah.
Can you find me a billionaire?
I think he wants to do it like at 1,000 miles an hour, but yeah.
Can you find me a billionaire that doesn't want to control the state?
I'm sure there's some billionaires that, you know, leave other people alone, Mark, and just kind of...
Every once in a while or like all the time?
Invest their money in stuff and don't really worry.
What in the world do they need to invest their money for?
That's how they make money.
No. Once you have $1 billion, Ian, then you're trying to make the world a better place.
Uh-huh.
And if you're a billionaire and a statist, and I'm just trying to find one that's not, if you're a billionaire and a statist, you're going to use what? The easiest method to make the world a better place you've been taught all your life is this method. You're going to control the state.
It seems like a cynical viewpoint about rich people, Mark, and I'm not sure why you've picked it up. Yes, you can point to some billionaires who are trying to influence things, but of course you're not going to know the billionaires who aren't trying to influence things because they're just doing their thing quietly. They're, you know, running their business or investments or whatever it is they're doing, taking care of their family or going on vacations. I mean, whatever it is that those billionaires do, you don't know who they are. Because they're not George Soros or they're not Warren Buffett or whoever.
There's only 2,000 of them worldwide.
2,000 billionaires.
Yeah, okay. 2,043.
And you're saying that 100% of them are all the same. They all have the same philosophy about trying to control other people.
Statism is not the same. There's lots of varying different
forms
of statism.
But you're insisting that when you get rich, you become a statist, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that the statists got rich. In many cases, they got rich by using the state.
Yeah, that's true. In many cases. I wouldn't disagree with you in some cases or perhaps even many cases. But I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that everybody who is over a certain amount of wealthy is a statist or a bad person who wants to control others.
If you go into actual law enforcement training, you have to go through FEMA training, Federal Emergency Management, whatever.
Okay.
And they have FEMA 100, 200, and the hard one to get is 300. Now, what you're talking about, these are procedures that the federal government does in case of an emergency. Under martial law, what do you call it, when they get the National Guards involved?
What you guys have to do is you have to hold the hot pass at Thermopylae until every one of you are dead, right?
Pretty much, yeah. You know how it is. It's like, but anyway, I would. You know, it's funny because being in law enforcement, by the time it hit that point, we wouldn't be involved. Probably, we'd be scared to death if we're going to get killed ourselves because we're trying to defend the public out here, and those are our family members and our community, you know. And then when you have those people step in and start declaring martial law, basically all we're doing is serving coffee. But it's if she actually looked into FEMA 300, if she could get access to it and look through that, it would tell you how they would go about seizing things. And
you're talking about taking guns. You're talking about going around and taking guns like they did after Hurricane Katrina. So you're saying that in an emergency situation, you guys will be serving coffee to the feds?
Well, the fact is this. I mean, it's either you play the game or you pay the piper.
Meaning if you don't do what they say, they're going to lock you up.
Yeah. It's sad. It really is because you don't realize, it's like the outrank system. I outrank you kind of attitude. But the fact that it's really a small world when it comes to what you're limited to be able to do in an emergency situation in that particular case.
Johnson, you brought up Alex Jones with the voice, and it's funny that you did that because I actually just sent today an email to the person who was his producer 5 years ago when he actually came on to Free Talk Live as a guest. And I said, yeah, it's been 5 years. Let's have Alex back, kind of catch up with him. It was actually Vincent's idea, and I thought it'd be a pretty good one because a lot's changed for Alex Jones in the last year, with the whole Trump thing and, you know, kind of getting on the bandwagon with all that. And I think it would be interesting to kind of, you know, question him about some of those things. Also, I want to ask him what his favorite video is of him. Like, you know, all those hilarious internet videos? You know he's seen some of them, right?
Oh,
like
sure.
Where people take him and make songs out of it or make just ridiculous, edited, hilarious videos. And I'm just curious, what, you know, which one does he like the best? Go ahead.
What is the one where he's either putting something in the water to turn the frogs gay?
Yep, that's right. That's one of them.
I wanted to call though about Bitcoin. I know you guys have been talking about it the past few days, and I had heard about Bitcoin for years, didn't really know much about it, understand it, nor care. But once this whole idea of upgrading the network and using the SegWit and having this, you know, old version of Bitcoin and some of these, you know, diehard old school ones trying to hold on, that's when I started getting really interested in it. And, you know, was hoping to talk a little bit more and learn from you guys a little bit more about some of the more practical uses of it. But I noticed you mentioned mine pooling or however that concept works.
Bitcoin mining via mining pools. Yes.
Yeah. What's the deal with that, and what's been your experience with it?
So I've done altcoin mining personally in this studio just to try it out, just to, you know, kind of see what it's like.
Was it necessarily Bitcoin you were doing, or just altcoin?
No, I did altcoins because you have to have fancy equipment to do Bitcoin mining. The business is so competitive due to the difficulty of Bitcoin having risen, you know, so much over the years in, as far as the mining aspect is concerned. Basically, the more it is mined, the more difficult the process, or the more miners jump in, the more difficult the process is, as I understand it. And so you have to have very specialized hardware, whereas with some of the altcoins, you can just mine with your, you know, your CPU, with your laptop or your regular
computer.
I've
seen some people using Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, sure. And there's this sort of Bitcoin geek war going on where a couple of different sides, those who support larger block sizes, which is another technical improvement for Bitcoin.
I think World War Geek's over. This is kind of like the cleanup when they're trying to get the last Japanese warriors off of the islands.
It ain't over till the fat lady sings in this case, Mark,
sure,
and we are weeks away from that happening.
That one guy with a bolt-action rifle could conceivably win the war, but when you see something like, I'm right here at coin.dance, and I see SegWit 2 intention signaling at 87.1%.
That's the supermajority.
I've got to say that
miners,
everything but Little Man and Fat Boy have been dropped on these people.
Sure. I would say don't get cocky, however. I mean, you never know what's going to happen around the corner, but it does look as though the SegWit 2X proposal that these miners have agreed to, the supermajority of them, as you say, 87% right now, it does look as though that's going to go forward as planned.
And hold 95%, right?
No. SegWit 2X is a modification to the original SegWit proposal, which required 95%. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about here is SegWit, segregated witness. This is, you know, computer terms for a way to upgrade the Bitcoin protocols to where it can handle, the network can handle more transactions, because Bitcoin is full. The network's full. They don't have enough room to handle all the demand in the marketplace. So this is one of the proposals to improve it. Increasing the block size to 2 megabytes from 1 megabyte is another proposal. And this SegWit 2X has taken these two proposals and has brought them together. The supporters of both of those proposals brought them together. They got on the same page in late May after arguing for 2 years on the internet about this.
Right, and they're going to argue their way to multimillionaireship.
If a company is actually accepting Bitcoin on the days where, if there's a fork happening, and they've chosen one Bitcoin or the other, right? Because they can only take Bitcoin, because when a fork happens, there's two Bitcoins.
Yep,
there's two Bitcoins then. And so, you know, what wallet is the person coming into the store or online to the store buying with? Are they buying with new Bitcoin? Are they buying with old Bitcoin? You know, you've got a problem there because the addresses are compatible with one another.
Right.
So are you taking Bitcoin from them on the right chain? Are you taking it on the original chain or the new chain? So there's some issues there. But even if you do manage to successfully get Bitcoin from them into your wallet, Then the question is, well, what if that Bitcoin chain or that blockchain gets wiped out later? What if the chain's what they do call a reorganization, mm-hmm. as I understand it, where the shorter chain basically gets gobbled up by the longer chain somehow, and the longer chain, this if it's like super weak, right? So if the shorter chain, if the shorter chain is super weak, they don't have a whole lot of mining power behind it, it may not be able to hold up to whatever it is that causes this reorganization. That part I don't really, you know, I didn't really dig into the technical side of it.
Something that I've been noticing here in the past few, I don't know, week and a half or so since the news about this soft fork has been getting so hot and heavy is that what kind of like what you had mentioned about the vending machines, the Bitcoin vending machines there in New Hampshire, you seem to have a contingency plan. And it seems like a lot of the exchanges that I'm looking at online that I'm, again, still learning about, it seems like that's kind of their contingency plan as well.
Yeah, they're closing Bitcoin trading.
We don't understand what's going on, so we're just going to hold off on trading. We're not going to accept cash. We're not going to pay anybody out. We're just going to chill for a while. But is and I noticed, though, because as the questions really
which they don't want to do, by the way, just before you go on, I mean, an exchange, their life's blood is when, you know, stuff's moving around. When money's moving, they're making a percentage on that. And so they want to keep operating. So they do have the incentive to make sure that they can remedy if something happens, that they can get these replay attacks solved, that they can get, you know, figure out which of these Bitcoins to start, you know, to list on their exchange and let people get back to trading as soon as possible. So they at the very least will have the incentive to lessen the effects of this. But yes, the ones that I've seen are shutting down trading at some time during July 31st, because technically the August 1st potential fork could begin at like midnight Zulu time or Greenwich Mean Time or whatever.
I'm hoping that, you know, some of these big e-commerce platforms that have decided to step up to Bitcoin, like Shopify, will decide to accept other cryptocurrencies. I mean, and it has bothered me for a very, very long time that, you know, Squarespace had talked about picking up Bitcoin and then just never did. And it was, and then, they said that they were going to. I mean, they literally said that it was going to happen and then just.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to wonder about that stuff, because Square, the processing, not Squarespace, but Square, the credit card processor.
Right.
When James Cleveland, who we used to co-host with here, was running his store, they had Bitcoin, and then they mysteriously just got rid of it with no explanation.
Well, the other thing is that the processor who processes transactions for Squarespace, they're a very big transaction processor. I can't remember what the name of it is. It's like one of the biggest ones. But they accept Bitcoin. But
how strange.
Not if you're with Squarespace for some reason. It's very obnoxious.
So anyway, by the way, another interesting statistic from CoinCap.io, which is where I was getting the total 46% of the market domination for Bitcoin. Their exchange volume is very poor compared to the rest of the altcoins. People are trading the altcoins a whole lot more. However, David Ha, researcher working with Google Brain, responded to Musk's comments, saying he was more concerned about machine learning being used to mask unethical human activities than the threat of superintelligent AI. But most people are familiar with the Terminator movies. You know, they're familiar with The Matrix. And, you know, Hollywood loves to put AI in a bad light and make them the bad guy.
It's a lot easier to kill robots than it is humans. It just looks better on screen. You know what I mean?
Plus, if you kill a bunch of robots and you don't kill humans, then you can get a lower rating, too.
But they did for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, too.
You get a PG-13 or PG instead of an R rating or something.
Or zombies.
Francois Chollet, the creator of deep neural net platform Keras, replied that while artificial intelligence makes a few existing threats worse, it was unclear if it created any new ones. He said, quote, arguably the greatest threat is mass population control via message targeting and propaganda bot armies. He says machine learning is not a requirement, though. I have no idea.
It means what they did during the last election.
Population control. Via
message targeting and propaganda bot armies.
Okay, so it's just basically
spamming. It
robots
like
telling
spamming.
Yeah, spamming people to say don't have kids.
Whatever the propaganda is,
or have abortions.
These are.
I mean, I don't know how you would do this particularly, but you know, I'm all for you know messaging people to not have children that they can't afford that are going to be you know encumbrances on. Society.
New Hampshire decriminalizing small amounts of cannabis, and by small, it's 3/4 of an ounce. So it's not a small, a totally small amount. That's a good chunk of of pot. They're decriminalizing it to the point where it'll be $100 if you get caught with it. They're going to take the weed from you. They'll give you a $100 ticket, and then it'll be a violation level offense rather than a misdemeanor offense. So
it doesn't go down in your permanent record.
I don't know if violations aren't in your permanent record, but they're not criminal. They're not criminal convictions, basically. Even though if you're going to take it to court, you'll end up in a criminal court. But regardless, there's a difference between a violation and a misdemeanor. Violations generally do not come with any jail time attached to them as a potential. Unless you don't pay the fine. In which case, you'll be in jail for about a day. In that case, in New Hampshire, because the fine's $100 now instead of what it was, which was like in the $400 range previously. So you would get a misdemeanor conviction, a potential $400 fine previously, and then there's also a fine on top of the fine. There's what they call a penalty assessment of 24%. So it was a $400, and it used to be 20%, so it was $420 when you went to court for a pot several years ago, but then they raised the penalty assessment to 24%. There was actually a video, I was watching some of the Alex Jones stuff the other day on the Todd Dracula channel on YouTube, really talented editor, and they had one of him talking to, I think, Megyn Kelly on Fox News, where she confronted him about his previous viewpoint about the school shooting in Connecticut. Remember the one that the conspiracy theorists all say didn't happen?
Sandy Hook.
Classic. The guy running around in camo in the woods. Like, who was that guy? Yeah.
Later on, Jones actually redacted or recanted on his original claims that it didn't happen, and he issued an apology publicly to the families in that particular case. So that was kind of nice to see.
I want to apologize to the families and remind them to vote for Donald Trump.
he's gone into that whole issue at length, but if you remember what happened on 7/7, how many years ago was that? The 7/7 bombing?
Was that over in the UK?
It was in the UK, but what happened was some guy goes on TV right after it happens and he says, yeah, it just so happens we were running a drill at those exact same locations for bombings. That's kind of a weird coincidence. And I don't know, you got to look the clip up, but often drills are used as a cover. Like a lot of these guys, they could have thought that they were just getting paid to be part of some sort of simulated terror attack when really they were being set up to be the terrorists themselves, like in that movie Shooter.
Mark, I think the seasteading idea is incredible. And if you ever do get your cruise ship, I will be the first to sign up to work on it.
Awesome.
I don't know if I'll be able to afford it, though.
What kind of talents would you be bringing to the table as far as your work ability?
Well, I have a couple years of IT school done and hopefully going to be finishing up. I changed my career. I'm hopefully going to be a dentist. So
a dentist?
Finishing up dental school, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. Wouldn't it have a dentist on board?
You need to have a dentist on board, sure. Yeah, there you go.
And, licensing would probably be a heck of a lot easier out in the open seas.
Yeah, for listeners that don't know, Mark has proposed the idea of buying an old cruise ship, packing it full of libertarians, and floating it around. It sounds like a floating nightmare full of drama to me. I wouldn't want to be there for very long. But some people are into it, and apparently you're one of them, Charlie.
I would like to propose that there's actually a greater epidemic of chemical warfare being used on the American people. And believe it or not, it's pepper spray from the police. It's seen as non-lethal force, but actually that killed, I think the average was 360. And I don't remember if that was the average or if that was the peak at 1 year.
What, now, how is it killing them? Is it because they can't breathe well after being hit by
it? Yeah. So, it's just, I think it causes it like super inflammation to your respiratory system and stuff. I'm not exactly sure how, but I know that especially elderly people are extremely susceptible to it. So, grandma that's out protesting an abortion clinic, when she gets pinned down by the police, sprayed right in the face, like a direct hit.
Yeah, if you're having trouble breathing, that could result in all kinds of, bad things happening to your body.
Yeah, and so I just thought that's an interesting perspective. I don't know. I just like to get some awareness out there.
Okay.
Because it's also really seen as non-lethal, and it's really not. So.
That's a great point. I've never actually heard that, so I learned something new here tonight. Johnson, you have pulled up Ray Kurzweil, the head of AI development over at Google.
I believe that's his position, yeah.
I think you're right about that. They brought him in.
He's also the founder of Nuance Corporation, which is a the sort of the famous software Dragon, naturally speaking.
Yeah.
So, you know, speech recognition.
I didn't know that about him. I knew that he was a futurist who had predicted the, what is it, where the humanity and
singularity,
humanity and, like, machine come together, basically.
He originally did some very interesting stuff with music, actually, is how he got started. Huh.
And now he's working with Google. He's been there a few years now, if I recollect correctly, maybe even several years. But yeah, so they brought him on, and he's getting all kinds of money that he can do research with on AI. What's he have to say about the fear around AI?
Jumping into the middle of this article here, it's actually from NPR.
NPR, okay.
Yeah, Who's Afraid of the Terminator? Imagining AI is all right. the original article. And this is actually from 2009, so a long time ago.
Wow.
And
was he still with Google in 2009?
No. He was not with Google in 2009.
Okay.
So he was not even there yet. It'll mention his position, or a position of his that I don't think is current. He doesn't have the time to do this anymore.
Right.
Nature's beauty can be appreciated and transmitted best through math. Today's supercomputers and robots are the last insentient tools to augment humanity's ability to comprehend and affect the world. What we fashion next will not be utilized so much as awakened. Whether this consciousness manifests through electrons or photons, or whether it has a body of steel or carbon nanotubes, it will be sensual and animate.
If you ask somebody, would you like to give birth to, in some way be involved in the creation of the most intelligent being the world's ever seen? I would think that all of them, the vast majority of people, are like, yeah, intelligence is great.
Sure.
But it's this whole, it's the other, and plus the incredible amount of indoctrination that Hollywood's given us. Look, they're just movies, people. You're like, Star Wars spacecraft don't go in space when they go past you either. These are stories that are put
in space. No one can hear you scream.
Right. Right. But it's not as terrifying if you just see somebody with their mouth wide open and their face kind of contorted. Yeah. So they need, boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Sharks don't have orchestras behind them, people. Right. These are stories. And if you're manipulated by stories, I get it.
I don't know. Have you ever seen Open Water? That movie's a lot more terrifying than Jaws ever was. And there's no orchestra.
No, I don't know.
Is that a fictional movie?
No, it's based on a true story. And it's terrifying. That's like one of the movies.
Have you ever seen Sharknado?
I think it's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen, Open Water.
What? It's Sharknado.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that a true movie?
It's a real movie. Yeah.
No, is it true?
No.
No, definitely
not. No, there were
not
sharks in a tornado?
No, afraid not.
The story of I can't remember what the name of the ship, Exeter, the story of the Exeter in the 1880s, what Moby Dick was based off of, must have been a terrifying experience. Huh. A giant bull whale going bananas on a freaking wooden boat.
What are we going to have first? Is it going to be the first artificial intelligence or sharks with lasers? That's what I
want to know. You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.